We're continuing our message series titled Reveal, and we're going through the book of Revelation, at least the first couple of chapters, and we're focusing our attention on Jesus's letters to the seven churches in the region of Asia Minor. And we looked at the first church last week, the church of Ephesus, and we noted that they were a loving church, but somewhere along the way, they allowed their love to diminish. And Christ was encouraging them how to get their first love back, because we want to be rightly related to God and obviously rightly related to others, and how that provides such balance for us in our life. Now, today we turn our attention to really a fascinating church. And it is the church of Smyrna, you'll notice. And the church of Smyrna is one of only two churches out of the seven that didn't draw any bad report from Jesus. Five out of the seven had kind of marks on their record that they had to get right, but not the church of Philadelphia, who we'll learn about in a couple of weeks, or the church we'll study today, the church of Smyrna. And what's interesting about this particular church is that if anybody had a reason to give up, it was the Christians in Smyrna. And so however you came here today, or whoever's watching at home, we've all had times in our life when we felt like throwing the towel in. In fact, just by a show of hands, it's healthy to be honest. How many have ever felt like throwing the towel in on something, right? Okay, well, we've all been there. And perhaps the Smyrnians were there. But by the grace of God, and as we see in the encouragement of this letter, God encourages this church not to do it. Now, as we began last week, I highlighted for you the fact that what we're doing with these messages is we're seeing Jesus really as the great physician. That's what he's known as in the Bible and the scriptures. And when he looks at these seven churches, it's as if they are in his medical office and he's examining their condition. And just like when you would go for some type of in-person examination with your physician, they would give you a thorough kind of workover and then go over the recourse on what you're to do. And if you were to look at their notes, they have a file, and it's how they write it down and also how it is entered. And it's called a medical file, and they have a terminology. It's called SOAP, and it stands for the subjective history of the patient, the objective data, the examination. The A stands for the assessment, the diagnosis, and of course the P stands for the plan. And so when you look at your message notes today, they're really like a medical report of the church, the SOAP report of the church. And so I want to begin there by talking about the subjective history of Smyrna. And we'll do so by reading from Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. We get here the introductory remarks of Jesus to this great church, as we will see, and what they were experiencing makes them such. So let's take a look here in verse 8 of chapter 2, Jesus' letter, this short letter to Smyrna. It says, "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write." And as we've noted, the angel is a reference to the messenger, perhaps the elders of the church, the pastor of the church, somebody who was in charge with helping with the physical delivery of this letter and the communication of such. "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna." And so this particular church, we're going to see they are without doubt a great church to model your own life after, our own church after. But we see that where they're located, in Smyrna. And Smyrna, at this juncture in history, was a hotbed for what was known as emperor worship. The emperor of Rome, Domitian, hated Christianity. He saw, for example, John the Apostle, who authored the book of Revelation, he saw him as the archenemy of Rome, because obviously John is the only living apostle. He is really the embodiment of the Christian faith at this point in terms of its allegiance and its connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why John was basically banished to the island of Patmos, this prison, if you will, because he saw John as a threat, and the Smyrnians as well. And really, emperor worship and the occupancy of Rome in Smyrna is well documented in history at this point in time. And so if you were a believer in Christ and you had an allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously worshiping the emperor was a conflict of interest, to say the least. And if you did refuse to do it, it produced incredibly tough times. You can make the argument to say that the Smyrnian Christians lived in very dangerous and difficult times. Nevertheless, this letter was written to encourage them. Notice what Jesus says here. This is his identification of who he is. And in each of the letters, he does that as he starts off, and it relates back to chapter 1 as he described himself. And it says here, the words of the first and the last. Now, that's Jesus speaking of himself. Now, you might want to underline that phrase, first and last. That is a title used to describe, God describes himself in the Old Testament, particularly in the book of Isaiah, three different times in chapter 44. And here, Christ uses it of himself, connecting the equality of God the Father and God the Son. We just sang about that earlier. Now, notice this, who died and came to life. Now, this is very important because this would encourage this church because their persecution was so intense, we're going to find out. And he was explaining to them that I could relate to you because I've been persecuted too. I was put to death and I came to life. And no matter what comes your way, because your faith is in me, you will share the same faith. Even though it might be difficult here, you have life eternal to hold on to. In the same way that I conquered the grave, I will help you conquer whatever sufferings you have in your life. And so there gives us the opening here, but this is the chief concern because each medical report has a chief complaint, a chief concern. And here, this more comes from the perspective of Jesus in that he knows exactly what the Smyrnians are going through. And because their persecution was so intense, because if you didn't worship the emperor, that could have meant imprisonment, torture, and worse, your life. And so this was the chief concern. Smyrna was enduring intense suffering because of Roman persecution. And Jesus wanted to encourage this church not to give up. Now, as I've said in this message series and in our small group series, these seven letters that were written by Jesus to these churches are an encouragement, and they are to be interpreted in such a way that we can apply them to our lives because we need encouragement. Again, who hasn't felt like giving up? Who hasn't felt like throwing the towel in? And you know what? You don't have to be a bird person to say that you are in a situation where you want to give up because everybody has been there. In fact, I think of a boxing match, and even if you don't like boxing, you'll understand this illustration. One of the best and most anticipated boxing matches took place on November 25th, 1980, at the Superdome in Louisiana. And it was between Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard. By the way, my aunt used to nickname me Sugar Ray, okay? So, but nobody call me that, okay? Or I'll show you some Sugar Ray. No, but this fight took place. Now, it was their second fight. Duran had beat him previously. And Duran coming into the fight, he had something like 72 wins. He was 72-1, and he was on a 41-fight winning streak. Pretty impressive. Now, as the fight commenced, you knew right away it was going to be a good one. And the judges, as through seven rounds heading into the eighth, the judges had them separated by one or two points on the scorecards. Very close fight. But something unexpectedly happened that nobody, not even all the good analysts, not even reporters saw coming, not even all boxing enthusiasts thought could happen. In the eighth round, Duran said to the referee, "No mas," which means no more. And after, you know, he was cut and he had taken a little bit of a beating from the great Sugar Ray, he decided to essentially give up, to throw the towel in. No mas, no more. And every time now you think of, you know, Duran, you think of, you know, if you're a boxing person, you think of no mas, no more. And even if you're not, you've heard of that, no mas, no more. And, you know, in his career, he won something like 103 fights, but he's remembered for no mas. He's remembered for quitting, obviously. And I want to encourage you that you might have felt like that in your life. You know, you might have wanted to quit on a marriage, quit on a family, quit on a job, quit on a class, quit on a dream, quit on your faith, quit on God, perhaps. And God wants to remind you today, don't be a no mas Christian. And if anybody, now I'm not just trying to encourage you, just trying to fluff your pillow here, because you know what? That'll last for about 5 minutes. We're not to be encouraged just by just some positive talk, pep talk. Rather, we have a higher calling. We have a higher source of encouragement, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church of Smyrna
has been left for you and I as an example for all time not to give up, not to nomas, not to throw the towel in. And so here's again the subjective history of this church, that they were a faithful church. You could be a faithful Christian and things happen, you know, things could happen in your life. They could come upon you, a people problem, a financial problem, a health problem, and you didn't sign up for it, but it happens anyway. Maybe the family you were born into, things happen. Does that mean you quit? Does that mean you let the world? Does that mean you go to the world? Does that mean you let the devil define you? Absolutely not. You want to be faithful like the church of Smyrna, and they were faithful, regardless of the persecution. Another interesting fact about Smyrna and their history is they were pastored by the great Polycarp. Polycarp was discipled by the Apostle John. And Polycarp represents the next generation of church leaders after the apostles. A very significant person in church history. And he preached at a young age, and we'll hear about more of him at the end of the message, but he preached and served God well into his late 80s like John. And they were pastored by this great man who was martyred for his devotion to Christ in Smyrna. Oh, Smyrna went through difficult times because of persecution. As I mentioned earlier, emperor worship, it was a capital offense if you didn't bring a sacrifice and worship the emperor. And so the stage is set. That's their history. That's who they were. Now let's look at the objective data as we're in, you know, the doctor's office. Again, you walk into a doctor's office, any good doctor is taking notes one way or the other, whether it's digitally or some other way, and then they put it on the medical record. The soap, this is the subjective. Now let's go to the objective of this church. And the objective data here is found in verse 9, now the very next verse in Revelation 2. Why don't you say this first part with me? This is Jesus talking together. I know your tribulation. I know your tribulation. And you want to circle the word tribulation. We have it in bolded in your notes for you. And in the Greek language in which this was originally written in the manuscript, it's the Greek word thylipsis. Can you say that with me? Thylipsis. Thylipsis means to have intense pressure. And that's exactly what the Smyrnians were encountering. Intense pressure by way of the persecution that was going on in their life. Now, anytime you have pressure, now think about stress, for example. Is anybody ever stressed? Anybody? Yeah, sure, we all have stress. Did anybody come to church with their stress? No, I'm just kidding. Don't say that, okay? In terms of people. No, don't point, okay? We have stress in this life. You might be stressed today. Now, did you know that desserts spelled backwards is stress? Did you know that? I think we have a devotion coming out right soon on that. I can't remember when we did it. We do them sometimes in advance. There's a devotion coming out on that, I think, this week. Did you know that October the 14th was National Dessert Day? Praise God, right? Now, I didn't know that. I just found that out. I could promise you going forward, I will observe that day with reverence and consistency moving forward, okay? Happy dessert day in advance, right? Stress, we've been stressed. When you're stressed, it puts pressure on your emotions, medically speaking. If you have a laborious job, maybe you have to wear heavy equipment or you're moving heavy things around, okay? You're taking care of the kids at home. It could be heavy work, picking this up, picking these book bags and all these types of things. Stress on your body. So work at home, work on the job, physical stress. You could have financial stress because you have more month than check. You could have people pressure and stress. You know, there are just some people, you know, just looking at them, you start getting twitchy, okay? And you might be that person for other people, by the way. The fact of the matter is you could have relational pressure. Pressure, pressure, pressure. Any type of pressure produces fatigue. And I submit to you that this word thylipsis communicates to you and I that this church, although they're faithful, you could be very faithful, they had fatigue from all of this. How can they not? Jesus says, I know your fatigue. And he says to you and I today, whether we're here, or you're watching at home or listening, he knows your fatigue. You've heard me say this before. God is omniscient. And this is a sermon point that I use, and I bring it up over and over again, and it's this. God is fully aware of you and your adversity. Never think for a second he doesn't know you. Remember the Bette Midler song, God is watching us from a distance? No, he's not somewhere off in a distance. He knows exactly where we are.
His Holy Spirit indwells his children, and he's fully aware of our dilipsis, our pressure, our tribulation. Notice this, and it says, and I know your poverty. Now, you might recall that the word Smyrna is mentioned other places in the New Testament three times. I'll give you two out of the three for the sake of time. And it's mentioned at Jesus' birth. Remember the three wise men came and they brought gold, frankincense, and guess what? Smyrna. The myrrh is really Smyrna. And then at the burial of Jesus, remember when Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took the body of our Lord off the cross with their bare hands, and then they, along with the women who supported the ministry of Christ, anointed the body of Jesus. What did they anoint it with? Smyrna. And so Smyrna, because of its geographical location, was considered the most beautiful, the crown jewel at the time of Asia Minor, a beautiful city. It also was a major place of exports for Smyrna, for myrrh. And so financially, it was doing very well. But if you were a Christian and you didn't worship the emperor, guess what? You couldn't play on their ball field. And that produced poverty when you can't feed your family and you can't take care of your children because you will not recant your faith. It had major impact on their livelihood to the point. Now, poverty, when we talk about poverty, you know, people today throw words around. You know, like the kids do that, right? I'm starving. Yeah, no, you're not. And I show them pictures of people starving. You're not starving here. We're not starving. Look at the church. We're between a bagel store and a pizzeria, for crying out loud. We're not starving here. There are people that are starving, but, you know, sometimes we got to massage that a little bit, okay? And I'm poor. You know, poverty is when you got zip, nothing. Poverty isn't I got the lower plan on the cell phone bill, okay? Or I don't have all the channels on cable. That's not poverty. This was poverty here in Smyrna. They had nothing. They were broke. And that produces frustration, by the way. And then notice this next part. Jesus said, but you are rich. Look at the contrast there. Oh, you might be poor in terms of the world standards, but you are rich spiritually. You're rich spiritually. And now this next word here, this is a very interesting phrase here. And the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not. Now, this is heavy here, okay? That you know, this is interesting here. There are people who are physical descendants of Abraham, but they're not real Jews. In fact, they are posturing as Jews, and Jesus says they are of the synagogue of Satan. This is a very, very strong statement here. What was going on? There were Jews, again, physically speaking, because of their bloodline, but they had no convictions according to the law of Moses, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. They didn't care about the major and minor prophets as we know it, and they certainly didn't care about the messianic promises of Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of that which we know to be the New Testament. Instead, what they were doing was they were slandering the Christians at Smyrna to the emperor, to Rome. When the Christians participated in communion, they told Rome they're participating in cannibalism, which they weren't. They were just remembering the body of our Lord Jesus Christ and how he went to the cross and the sacrifice, the atonement. They weren't participating in cannibalism, but they said it anyway. When they would greet each other with a holy kiss, they said they were acting in ways of perversion. When maybe one spouse came to Christ, but the other one didn't, they said they were breaking up homes. They were trying to say that they were a detriment to community and life in Smyrna as they knew it. And because Smyrna was a financial jewel of Rome, they didn't want anybody to disrupt anything going on in Rome. But perhaps the biggest one that they did was they would say repeatedly that they will not worship the emperor and they're worshiping Christ. And they would bring that in a slanderous way. And that's why Jesus says they were of the synagogue of Satan. Now, I know some people that are in that synagogue. They got to get saved out of it. You know, the devil is the accuser of the brethren, and that's exactly what they were doing. The data is showing that this was intense, and that word is blasphemy, and that certainly produced fear. And so all this is going on right now. All this terrible persecution is going on right now, and I believe it arrives us at a diagnosis that I want you to take notice of in your notes. As we look at this church here that was going through all of this, again, if there was anybody who had a reason to quit, it was the Smyrnians. No matter what suffering you're going through right now, you could draw encouragement from this. And Jesus, you know, the great physician, he is assessing this church. And I want you to write this principle down. And it's the assessment here. Smyrna was enduring extreme suffering that threatened to separate them from their faith and fellowship. I know it's a mouthful, but can we say it together? Smyrna was enduring. And isn't that the devil's objective all the time? To separate you from your faith, to separate you from your fellowship at the church. You know, the devil wants nothing more than for you to just kind of cower away. And listen, sometimes in life, notice how Jesus doesn't minimize anything anybody's feeling. Sometimes, you know, there's physical struggles, mental struggles, financial struggles, things that are stressing us out, intense pressure, where you just want to close the door and put down the shades and just get away from it all. But we know that we can't live that way. And the devil wants nothing more for you to be separated from God. He wants you to think that God has forgotten you, that your troubles and your tribulations have separated you from God. But I want to remind you today, don't believe a word of it, because the devil wants to get you to that place, because then you'll want to give up. Then you'll want to quit. But you could keep on keeping on because of what's written here to Smyrna and because of what took place at Calvary, because there's an empty tomb in Jerusalem, and because every one of God's promises find their yes and their amen in the one who wrote this letter, Jesus Christ. You don't have to fear that way. But that separation is the goal of the enemy. Listen, he started in the Garden of Eden, didn't he? He tried to separate Adam and Eve from God. He tried to even separate the two of them. Adam was blaming Eve. He was blaming everybody but himself. Such is the way of our sinful nature. The devil wants to separate you. But I want to remind you today, as you flip over your notes, what it says in Romans is applicable to you and I. And it's applicable to the church of Smyrna as well. Romans 8, 35 and 37 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, that's pressure, right? That ellipsis. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword? Verse 37. No. No, the word of God says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Verse 38, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing at all could separate you from the love of God. Nothing at all. We must remember this time and time again. See, the assessment was, this is natural. Who wouldn't feel that separation? Now, in order to illustrate this for you, I was thinking, what can we show medically? Something that happens to people that they didn't necessarily cause, but is kind of a product of life. And so, I'll start with this. I borrowed this, and you know, my medical team of researchers that I have, okay? I consulted them, and we came up with this, okay? And this is a little model here of your vertebrae. And I would like to diagnose this concern as a mental, physical, and spiritual osteoarthritis. You know, arthritis. Maybe you have some arthritis. Arthritis, when it gets in your spine, causes terrible problems and causes terrible back issues. Now, I know this is small, so listen, I like to do things big, so I had to borrow this from the doctor when he wasn't looking. But now, could everybody see this, by the way? Do I need to, can everybody see this in the balcony there? In those expensive seats there, could everybody see that? Now, you have a lot of joints in your spine. Yeah, I just feel like getting an adjustment now, just looking at that thing, right? You have a lot of joints in your spine, and when there's pressure on your spine, and now pressure can happen a number of ways. First of all, regular wear and tear, getting old, okay? And listen, don't fight it. It happens to all of us, and again, God is slowly preparing us for the next life, and when you have arthritis in your joints, like when there's arthritis in the joints, it starts to pull away. It starts to separate, and that's when the pain happens. By the way, thank God, no backaches in heaven. Amen? Amen? Okay. And no mass, too, okay? No mass, okay? And so when that begins to happen, that produces pain. You know, a lot of times we have joint pain here and joint pain here. Most likely it's somewhere connected back to the spine. Now, one of the key areas when it gets arthritis really wreaks havoc, and that is down here by the pelvis area, okay? So you dancers might know this, but that's the sacroiliac joint. And when arthritis hits there, because again, this is the joint that connects your pelvis to your lower spine. And so that causes a lot of problems. So again, normal wear and tear, just life. You know, women giving birth to children, taking care of family, men working maybe hard, strenuous jobs, or sitting in a chair. There's lots of different reasons. And again, just age, but then also pressure in terms of maybe if you're in an accident, you're in some type of car accident or some type of other accident where you have a sudden impact. That could cause pain and lead to arthritis. Maybe if you're an athlete, you know, you get hit so much and all of a sudden you start developing pains. That's why probably the shortest career span position in professional football is the running back, because the running back takes punishing hits. And even though they can physically still run and stuff like that, you know, they suffer from back issues. And so on and on we go with this understanding. And when I think of this church, they were a good church, didn't do anything wrong according to what Jesus said, but this is the wear and tear of the persecution that they're going through. And Jesus was concerned that this was going to produce some separation in their joints. And you know what? When you have joint separation, when you have joint degeneration because of any of this, it prohibits your mobility, doesn't it? And if your mobility is prohibited, then your availability is prohibited. And you see where I'm going. All of this persecution was the devil's attempt to cause mobility spiritual issues for the church at Smyrna. And when you and I are going through our suffering, whatever it might be, it's important to you, it's important to God. Guess what? The enemy wants to use that as well to separate you and your mobility and your availability for God. He wants to keep you away. He wants to keep you distracted. But not the church at Smyrna. They wouldn't let it happen, and neither should we. Now, again, they didn't let it happen, not because of positive talk or because they were great or anything like that, but because their focus was the Lord Jesus Christ. That was their motivation, and that needs to be my motivation and your motivation. So that's the S, the subjective. The O, the objective. We looked at the data, the history. The A is the assessment. Oh, they got some osteoarthritis in their joints. How could it not happen? But here's the plan. Here's how you don't give up. Here's how you keep on keeping on. Because guess what? You know, I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. In addition to the regular things that happen in life, the wear and tear, we also cause some joint separation in our life by our stupidity. Does anybody want to testify and say amen to that? Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. We do it, too. We cause separation with family and friends, with our relationship with God because of our stupidity. But guess what? That's why we're here. You know, we're not here to put on our halos and act pretty, and we're not here to have a show. Some places are into that. We're not. We're not here to play church. We're here to be reminded of Jesus Christ and what he has said to us and how we need to fall in order, how we need to look at the next part, the P. What's the plan? This is the diagnosis. This is how it is. Whether it's outside stuff or stuff I've caused, listen, we are where we are. How do we deal with it? In the case of Smyrna, they have a great example for you and I not to throw the towel in, not to give up. It's a reminder of who we serve and who we pray to, that God is greater, that his promises are true. And if God could sustain Smyrna, he could sustain me and he could sustain you. So what's the plan? What's the next steps? Well, Jesus gives it. Notice what it says in Revelation 2:10. We'll read the verse first. Do not fear. Very good. Listen, that's why I wanted you to say it with me. You're right on with me. You're following. Let's say it together, all of us. Do not fear. You know, I love that. Do not fear. Now, Jesus is it, and some of you might be going, oh, do not fear. You know, easy for you to say, right? You don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't know. You don't know what I'm going through. But here's the thing. Nobody is saying don't have fear. That's ridiculous to say that. In John chapter 14, you might recall, when Jesus was encouraging the disciples, just maybe 10 hours before the events of the crucifixion, he said to them, you remember the words, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me, in my Father's house in many rooms. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. And lo, I go to prepare a place for you. So all that, Jesus was saying, I know you have fear, but don't stay in that fear. That's the difference. You're going to have fear. And that's what's saying here. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. So here's our word again, suffering. This is all what Smyrna's going through. So before we finish the rest of it, write the principle down. Refuse to stay stuck in fear. Can you say that with me? Refuse. Refuse to stay stuck in it. You don't have, that does not have to define you. You don't have to stay in fear. Yes, there are things happening around you that are suffering, intense suffering, but don't stay in that fear of that. Look what Jesus went on to say. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. For 10 days, you will have thlipsis. You'll have tribulation. And marrying this to the previous verse, which is the way you interpret and exegete scripture, what was just said prior to this, that the slandering false Jews of the synagogue of Satan were what? Blaspheming about this church to the Romans. And so no doubt they had taken false reports to the emperor, to the emperor's chambers, and then the emperor ordered his cronies to come get these believers. And these believers, and you know, some try to say 10 days represents 10 years. That's ridiculous when people try to do that. 10 days is 10 days. 10 days, 10 days. If God wanted 10 years, he would have said it a different way, even if it was code, to look to the Old Testament and figure it out. That's not what this is. 10 days is 10 days. They're going to go in some type of period. But notice this, they're not going to a country club. They're going to be thrown into prison. It's not going to be nice. They're going to have tribulation. Guess what? They were going to be tortured. Don't fear the torture that's going to come. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stay in your fear. And again, if the Smyrnans could hear this, how much more should we hear it? And it's a reminder of what it says in Psalm 56, not to give up, not to quit, to trust God. See, it's not about you and I putting on a tough guy, a tough girl shell. I read about bat spears that go deep in the ocean, and they have cast steel around them with the glass window. And they're able to withstand, obviously, studying, you know, marinology and everything. In the water is incredible pressure. You know, like when water can burst through something and sink something real quick. But they're steel. But then something on the outside are fish swimming around with no problem. But they have a kind of a soft, pliable surface, the fish. But on the inside, they're very hard. God made the fish in such a way that on its inside, it could withstand the intense pressure of the water. I want to encourage you today, don't fall for the phony Christianity today of positive think, it's all going to get better, the orphan Annie gospel, the sun's going to come out tomorrow, because nobody said the sun's coming out tomorrow. What you need to remember is God's will is for you to be strong on the inside. God wants you to trust him. That's how you're strong on the inside. Don't settle for just like being a tough, hard person on the outside. You need to be strong on the inside. And that's what it says when we trust God. Look what it says in Psalm 56, 11. Can we say it together? And if you're at home, you can say it together. Don't worry, even if your family don't like to go to church, they need to hear this verse. So just say it right now, okay? Blame me. That's what people do anyway. Psalm 56, 11, together. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? My friends, you don't need to fear anyone. You are in the palm of God's hand. Jesus even said, you know what? You don't need to fear what people could do to your body. You need to worry about what somebody could do to your soul. Well, we know who that is. Refuse to stay stuck in fear. But it doesn't stop there. The plan doesn't stop there. Write this next principle down. Remain faithful. Can you say that with me? Remain faithful. You know, maybe 100 years from now, if the world is still going and Christ hasn't raptured the church yet, they'll write about this church age that we're in right now. And it will be known, mark my words, it will be known as the era in which the church fell in love with celebrityism and which the church was seeking to be famous. Let that never be of us. It's not about being famous. It's about being faithful to God.
We must remember that. It's not a show. It's not an entertainment business. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And like Smyrna, drawing on the teachings of Almighty God that have been preserved for such a time as this. There's perhaps never been more of a time for you to draw the line in the sand to see where you stand. You are either on the right side of the cross or an enemy of the cross. You are either of the house of God or the synagogue of Satan. Oh, that's harsh. Well, you know what? Sometimes we need to hear it direct, don't we? We got to put our big boy pants on and remember it's okay to hear truth. We need it. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We got to be a faithful people. Now, Jesus said that literally. Look what it says in the second part of that verse. Say it with me. Be faithful unto death. Unto death. Now, think about this here. What does that mean, unto death? Is that just a bumper sticker? No. The Smyrnans were being fed to lions in the Colosseum. They were being burned at the stake if they didn't recant their faith in Jesus Christ. Be faithful. And I submit to you today, speaking to myself, I might add, not just yourself, but me as well, how much more should I be faithful to God? In Christian America, with the freedom to worship, you have people today, they can't come to church because they got Sunday fun day going on. They got hashtag the beach, hashtag softball, hashtag this, hashtag that. How about hashtag be faithful? How about hashtag, you know, people, I'm not coming to church. This one looked at me, look, this one took my seat, and this one said this, and this one said that. You know what? Why do we do what we do? Because Christ died for our sins and he rose from the dead. That's why. Amen. Be faithful. Stop trying to, you know what? We need everything to be comfortable. The Smyrnans would counsel you different. They would tell me different. They would say, we were meeting knowing that if the Roman guard found us, he would imprison us and we would be dead. Be faithful unto the death. The Romans didn't have special laws for the children. They would kill your whole family. Be faithful. And I say to you today, whatever suffering you're going through, look at this example and I remind you again, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't let it separate you from God and your faith. You can never lose your salvation, but you can lose sight of it, my friends. Don't give up. God is revealing endurance through Smyrna. We don't know what tomorrow holds. It could get very crazy and messy real soon here, even in cushy America. We see the evil is on the prowl more than ever before, but we need not fear. We need to remain faithful to our faith and to the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what. No matter what, because Jesus told us that this was going to happen, right? Didn't he say in this life you'll have some trouble and tribulation? Look what it says in John 16:33. Jesus said, why don't we say it together? I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. That's Jesus speaking. You don't have to fear this life in this world. Stop. We don't need to chase being famous. Let's be faithful. And let's remember, no matter what, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We have a faith in something that is incorruptible, imperishable. We have something great, and we ought to remain faithful no matter what, not to give up and not to quit. No matter how hot it gets, no matter how difficult, how dangerous it may be, remain faithful to the Lord. And I know there's going to be suffering. And I know maybe some of you are walking with incredible issues right now in your life. And sometimes we wonder, like, God, just take it away. Why can't you just take this pain away? But God hasn't forgotten you. Because he told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For my grace is made powerful, more powerful in your weakness. Oh, the joints, they're hurting, my friends, right now. I know that. The pelvis is hurting. We can't do the twist like we used to. I know that. But a day is coming that not even death could touch us. We must realize that. Remain faithful unto death. Be faithful no matter what. And that's an encouragement to you and I. Be faithful. Don't give up. Even in your own Christianity, you know, even right now, some of you are young who come to church and maybe your family tells you, you got to come. What are you going to do when you have your own decision-making power? Are you going to be swallowed up by the world? Are you going to let some college professor who knows nothing, by the way, about Greek, Hebrew, or the ancient scriptures, are you going to allow them to tell you about God? Or are you going to allow the word of God to define you? I don't need the city school system to tell my kids about God. They can't even get learning right. We, you know, anymore. Just ask our good teachers and principals. They can't get a plan straight. So I don't need them to tell me about evolution. I know who created the earth. I know who created you and I. And I know not only who created yesterday, I know who holds tomorrow. And maybe we need to tell our kids that more. Because the suicide rate, shamefully, is up. What do you want when you tell children that they come from animals? No, every child is planned by God. Every life is important. Every life matters to God, not just when they're born, but even before they're born into this life, because it's a life from the foundations of the world, God tells us. We must remain faithful. But even that could be discouraging, right? When you're not in fear, but you're remaining faithful, but still life is hard. And I must admit to you, it would be a tremendous discouragement if it was just ended there, by the way. And I know some of you might have reservations for lunch. We're almost done, don't worry, okay? Where are you going? No, I'm just kidding, you know, that's it. But what if it just ended with faithfulness? We might be disappointed a little bit because tomorrow we gotta be faithful too. And what is there to look forward to? More suffering? Not for the believer. Because the story doesn't end there. Write this last principle down. Remember to have an eternal focus. Can you say that with me? Remember to have an eternal focus. My friends, I'm the bearer of good news right now. You know what I wanna tell you? Your pelvis is gonna be working again. You'll be doing the twist again, don't worry. Have an eternal focus, please. See, if it's just faithfulness, yes, be faithful, but sometimes it's hard when you're in a bad spot, you're still being faithful, but you can't, let's be honest, you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Does it mean you're a bad Christian? And shame on people who minimize people who have anxiety or stress disorders or depression or struggle sometimes in their faith. Shame on those people. Those people know all the answers. Guess what? They don't know the right questions. And maybe they need to walk a mile, how about a minute in your shoes? And then maybe they'll think differently. That was a commercial. Let me get back to the program, okay? Let me get back to the program. An eternal focus. I hope you have an eternal focus. Smyrna needed that. Smyrna, you know, out of all these churches, they all had some type of persecution, but oh boy, Smyrna was the object of Satan's fist. And they needed an eternal perspective. Let's read the last verses here. Here it is. And I will give you the crown of life. Can you say that with me? Jesus said, I will give you the crown of life. Now, I had a crown to bring. Oh, I forgot it. And I even forgot my shoes. I don't know whose shoes these are, but I found these. They were in my office. They're not mine, I can tell you that. But they were there, okay? And they, you know, I had to wear them. And I didn't have enough time. You know, we just had the last service, okay? And I didn't have enough time to go back and forth. And so I'm just sticking with these shoes today, okay? I'll bring the crown out another time. Here's the thing. You're going to get a crown. This is the crown of guess what? It's a reward of endurance. It's a reward of perseverance, the crown of life. And don't worry, you're not going to walk around with it too long. You're going to put it at the feet of Jesus, and we're going to sing holy, holy. We're going to sing holy, holy. The day is coming. Eternal focus. Oh, you're going to be rewarded like the Smyrnans were for not giving up. Listen to this. Now, verse 11, this is at the end of every letter, by the way. He who has an ear, let him hear. Now, before we go any further, if you're a parent, you understand this. There's a difference between hearing and listening. Amen. Anybody? 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 My support group? Anybody? Okay. You could hear somebody. That's natural. But it could sound like Charlie Brown's teacher or the librarian. Rah, 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 rah. But if you're listening, that's something different because now you're paying attention. See, people have trouble listening. They're always thinking of their response. That's not listening. And so Jesus, this hear it, is it, this sometimes we could just take it as just hear it, just read it. No, hear it and do it. Whoever puts this into practice, I will liken him to a wise builder, Jesus said. So he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In every letter, the one who conquers, I love this, will not be hurt by the second death. You got to know something here. Some of us, we fear how we're going to die. Oh, I hope I go in my sleep. I hope I die at the bakery. I hope I die with, you know, I hope I die with my children. I don't want this person around me. I don't even like him when I'm living. And we, you know, some of you, you know, these are my wishes and everything like that. Don't worry about the first death. Don't worry about the first death. Be more concerned about the second death. What's the second death? Told to us very clearly at the end of Revelation, it's the death of your soul. It's the ultimate separation between you and God. There's a heaven and there is a hell. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through him. I know that's not politically correct to say, but I don't care. There's no other name by which we could be saved but the name of Jesus. And I know we have joint trouble. I know we got problems. I know we got suffering. I know we got all these things. And it would be really a drag if this was all there was. But there is a heaven. It's promised to us. And we want to have an eternal focus because Jesus Christ said it to be so. And this eternal focus is something that we can hold on to because we don't have to fear the second death. So I want to just bring you up to speed on something. I want to remind you, some of you, those watching at home, listen to this. You know, you have your physical birth, but you also need a spiritual birth. Think of it this way. Two births, one death. One birth, two deaths. You want to have two births. You already have one, we know that. And hopefully you got the second one, which is a spiritual birth, which means you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And you've heard me say it. Listen, doing this now for a while now, I would say, okay? And you've heard me say for years, you cannot forget the cross and what Christ has done, the atonement. We don't graduate from that. That is who we are. And here it is. This is right in the Bible here. Look what Jesus is encouraging them with. Gospel-centered truth. The fact of the cross, the resurrection, and the empty tomb. And I want you to hold on to that. The second death can't touch you and it can't touch me if my faith is in Christ. I close with how we started. Remember Polycarp, the pastor of this church? You know, Polycarp preached at a young age, was a pastor at a young age, and he pastored this church with great success. And I mean, I'm not talking about lights and cameras and all that. I'm talking about the faithfulness. The fact that this church remained faithful tells you a lot about their minister. And I can't wait to meet Polycarp. But Polycarp, again, a disciple of John, if you're just tuning in, the pastor of this church, and I would say that Polycarp's martyrdom, if I'm looking at history correctly, happened about 50 years after the writing of this letter. So this suffering wasn't 5 minutes or 5 weeks or 5 months or 5 years, about 5 decades. And many of the believers who came to Christ or got closer to Christ because of Polycarp's ministry, no doubt you build bonds with people, you love them, they're your family. They told Polycarp, because now he's like around in his mid-80s, get out of town, get away from this. They want to kill you. They had it out for Polycarp because Polycarp was connected to John. And Polycarp was so faithful in Smyrna. And Smyrna would not bow down to emperor worship. And so Polycarp was really forced out of the church for safety reasons. But then he said, I'm not running no more. He told his elders, the men around him. And then the Romans came to get him. And he sent food out to them. Now, I don't know about you. I may have poisoned the food, okay? No, I wouldn't have. But Polycarp sent food out to them. And then they took him. And they took him to the Colosseum to burn him alive. And they got there, and they realized that, you know, they tuned them up a little bit as they got there. They realized that there weren't any nails or rope to bind them. And so they said, there's no rope, no nails. And Polycarp said, there's no need. The power of Christ will keep me here. And they said, listen, you just recant of your faith. You just recant of your allegiance to Christ, Polycarp, I'm paraphrasing, and you worship the emperor, and you'll be taken off this heap. He said, I won't do it. And tradition has this quote that I'd like to read for you. Polycarp said, 86 years I've served Christ, and he never did me wrong. How could I blaspheme my king who saved me? And so they started the flames. And the flames went all around him, but they didn't touch his body. And that's what tradition says, and I can't wait to get to heaven. I believe it's true. And the Romans saw that the flames weren't touching him, and so they took the sword and they stabbed him to death. And Polycarp, because he wouldn't recant of his faith, defended his faith and his allegiance to Christ, literally up until the point of his death. Faithful, because he had an eternal focus beyond this world. I say to you, how much more should we be faithful? Oh, it's raining out. I can't come to church. I just got my hair done. Oh, I can't do this, and I got to walk. And oh, the church don't have a parking lot, and the church don't have this, and the church don't have that. You know what? When are we going to grow up and look at the Smyrnans? How much more should we be faithful? How much more should we give? How much more should we serve? How much more should we be unconditional in our commitment to the Lord till he calls us home? I need it. You need it. We all need it. And if we are in a place of suffering right now, the message is loud and clear, not to give up, because what we're going through right now, based on this record of Polycarp, and even better than that, the church at Smyrna as a whole, that all that we're going through is not worth comparing with what awaits us in heaven. Let's look what it says here in Romans 8:18. Let's say it together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that awaits me. Wow. That means, this was written to the Romans who had similar trials, you take all that you're going through right now on one scale, and you take all that's to come in heaven, and it doesn't compare. The glory of to come, the promises, the joy of heaven to come far outweighs any suffering that anybody's going through right now. And that was true of Smyrna, and it's true of me, it's true of you. And so Hebrews 12:1-2 really puts it into perspective as we close. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who by the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Oh, I pray you do. I pray you believe it at home. I pray you've put your faith in Jesus Christ. You have no fear in any of the debts because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You keep on keeping on. You don't quit. You could do all things through Christ who strengthened you. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, thank you for the church at Smyrna. Although the shortest letter, oh God, perhaps the biggest sense of encouragement of endurance from this church. Thank you, oh God. Thank you for your grace that you've shown to us in the past and your mercy. Help us, oh God, not to get caught up and swallowed up by the world, but to be a people who are focused on the big picture. Help us, oh God, not to stay stuck in fear, to remain faithful no matter what. And oh God, like a laser beam, oh God, help us to remember to focus on the eternal blessings to come. I pray for everybody here today, oh God, that's going through it, whatever that might be, those at home as well. Lord, we pray for your grace, oh God, your sustaining grace. Help us, oh God, like Smyrna, to see our fight from the victory. We commit these prayers now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.